Yeah, well, I think some of you are still a little undecided, maybe. Amen. Did you come hungry for the Word here today? Yeah, amen. I'll tell you what, when you get hungry for the Word, that's when it's going to work for you. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not just the fact that we're here in church, it's how we're here in church. You know, I know that sometimes tradition and maybe our background or maybe our lack of background or whatever, you know, sometimes we think that we just come to church and we sit there and we just wait for the time to pass by. No, we need to be skillful at attending church. And a service should include the things that God wants it to include. You know, in every service, there should be an element of celebration. There's an element of response. God wants us to rejoice. You know, the Bible says that times of refreshing and times of heaven on earth would come and be in our midst. This is a time of heaven on earth. We're gathered together as the brothers and sisters of the Lord. We're gathered in His name. Amen. Amen. Jesus said that when we gather two or three in His name, that He would be in the midst with us. So I tell you what, He's walking the aisles. He's here. This is the program or the institution of the local church that He designed. And so we don't take it lightly, right? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Again, we just welcome those that are visiting here today. For those of you that are new, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And we know that God has a wonderful plan for your life. The Bible says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope in a future. You know, it is those thoughts and plans that we need to get into, that we need to invest in our lives into making sure that we discover those plans, because that is where the blessing's at. Amen. Of course, we know that life brings its trials and tries to challenge us and things. But how many of you know that we are overcomers? How many of you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, the Bible says over there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, who is he that has overcome the world but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So if you believe that, the Bible says you are an overcomer, right? In the verse before that, 1 John 5:4 says, whosoever is born of God, that's us, born again, born of God, says overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Even the constant release of our faith. Notice it didn't say you overcome the world because it always feels good or because it's always convenient, but you overcome the world because you don't quit. Amen. Because you keep releasing your faith. Amen. You just keep moving forward and the circumstances don't tell you what you are or what to believe or what's going on. Amen. The Word of God tells us. Praise the Lord. Well, again, we just welcome our visitors in church. Remember, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's all of our jobs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, you know, you see the place is very full, but, you know, we have some space up here. We can add more seats. You just keep bringing folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're excited. It's a great season, not only because it's a new year, but because God is doing wonderful things here at Family Church. Just a quick reminder of some things. Number one is that MTC, our ministry training center, is starting back up on February 22nd. Now, if you're wondering what MTC is, it is our part-time Bible school here at the church. It is only available to people in the family churches, okay? And it's not a discipling program. What MTC is, it is for folks that feel that they have a desire to take their ministry of helps even higher. Hey, that rhymed. Praise the Lord. A lot of rhyming going on today. I noticed even when I was praying, a lot of rhyming words. Glory to God. But you have a desire to go even further in the ministry of helps, but it is a very serious program, okay? It is a two-year commitment. And there is 3 10-week trimesters every year. So it is 30 weeks out of the year, and it is 3 hours on every Monday night, and every trimester consists of 3 separate classes. So the entire two-year program is 180 hours of instructions. There is a lot of tests. There is a lot of reading. And in order to attend MTC, you need to set up an appointment with me, okay? So you need to do that if you are interested. And again, it's not for the faint of heart, so to speak. You know, it is for those that are very dedicated, who feel there may be another call in their life to serve in the ministry, whether it's a volunteer. It would also include, of course, a small percentage, even possible future church staff. And we have several individuals in there that may be called to pastor. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone that goes to MTC is going to be a family church pastor. Maybe you might just volunteer or just increase, you know, your ability to serve. But we talk about things in MTC that you don't get, you know, in a normal Sunday service. It's not about just feeding. It's about learning the word in a very dynamic way. And again, it's for those with the highest level of commitment. So praise the Lord, MTC, you need to be approved to attend. There is a small tuition. It's $150 per trimester, so that's $15 per class. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, you can't go to Arby's for that anymore. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You sure can't go to Applebee's or something. You know, that's like a couple of coffees over at Starbucks these days. So we believe that for what we receive, it's more than worth it. Amen. Also, second, we know we have the Erie Church, Family Church Erie, coming online very soon. And today we are stepping out and we are putting the opening date in stone, January 30th at 6:30 p.m. Family Church Erie will be coming online. Praise the Lord. However, we still have one last hurdle to get over to get this project done. I know it's been a more than a year project. Really, this has been the second biggest project that this church has ever been involved in, probably first being this building and so on. But we're almost there. We have all the estimates in, and there is a renovation cost to get this building up to par on the inside to have it suitable for services, because we need carpet, we need a nursery built, we have sound equipment, we have a lot going on. And so it's going to, we have all the estimates together, and it's going to be about a $35,000 project to get done. For a congregation of this size, should be no problem at all. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to sow and get over that last hurdle and get that opened. Amen. Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate those that have signed up for tonight. We have chairs just like the ones you're sitting on. They're different colors, but the frames need to be painted. And we have volunteers that are going to be serving up in the youth center tonight at 6 o'clock. So if you are available and you want to paint some chair frames, praise the Lord. You just need to ask yourself, who's going to get saved sitting on that chair? See, that's the way I look at it. Amen. I don't look at it in terms of just administration or logistics. I think of chairs as where souls are going to be saved. Amen. And so you have that opportunity. We're almost there. So if you have friends and family in Erie, January 30th, it's a Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. Well, praise the Lord. And also, if you would like to sign up to volunteer to go out to Erie and maybe help and volunteer to clean, or to maybe you have some construction skills, praise the Lord. Unlike Justin, like we said Wednesday night, I believe it is. Glory to God. We said, don't put a hammer in his hand. But if you're there and you're skilled at carpentry, he will get you a glass of water. He'll take care of you. Praise the Lord. If you've been around here long enough, Justin is our scapegoat that we turn all insults and criticism towards him, because we just love him so much. That's why. Praise the Lord. So if you'd like to sign up for that, that would be wonderful. Isn't it a great things that are going on? Amen. Glory to God. We have the church sign out there ready to be installed. So much going on in Erie. We are excited about it. You hungry for the word here today? Praise the Lord. Go with me over to John chapter 17. This is what we came here for. Here it is. Amen. The biggest moment of our week when we sit down together and get into the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just kind of reset things and pray again as we get ready to get into God's word. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. We exalt you, Father. We thank you so much for your word. Father, we know that our spirits are fed. Our minds are renewed. Our body receives strength every time we get into the Bible. And Father, we thank you for revelation knowledge. Father, we thank you for the renewing of our mind, the transforming of our lives. Father, you said over there in James chapter 1 that those that do the word are blessed in all their deeds. So, Father, we say that we are doers of the word and not forgetful hearers only. Lord, we give you all the praise. Father, we give you the glory. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the anointing of God. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're going over there to the book of John, go to chapter 17, and we are going to take a look at verse 17. I mentioned this verse on Wednesday night, and it just kind of stuck in my heart. And so we're going to minister on it today. This morning, I'm calling this message, Living on the Truth. Living on the Truth. You know, sometimes we fail to look at what the Bible says about itself, you know? And we need to look at what God's Word says about God's Word. You know, we live in a society that values facts. Our society values opinions. Our society values commentary. Our society, and of course this isn't wrong, values education and values the opinions of educated people and people with experience and so on, which that's can be a good thing. But you know, do we value truth? Because we know not every opinion, even educated opinions out there, not all of them are truth. Not every fact is truth. Not every opinion is truth. Not all commentary is truth. Not all news is truth. Yeah, and if we're not careful, we start to fill ourselves, we fill our thoughts with the facts or the opinions of this world, when what we need to be doing is feeding our heart with the truth of God's word. Amen. How many of you know that not every thought that passes through your mind is truth? Yeah, you can't trust that thinker up there because it doesn't always think in line with the word of God. I'll tell you what, I know that we're in a season, there's people, you know, right now in this church, when you're part of a church that is planning new locations, where people are being saved, where new churches are coming online all the time, how many of you know that Satan is not going to lay down and throw us a party for being faithful? And so there's going to be tests. There's going to be trials. They're going to come against marriages. It's going to come against finances. It's going to come against your thought life. It's going to come after your peace. There might be trials in your body. There could be trials in your job or in your home or whatever. You know, we need to know and understand that truth is how we overcome the trial. Truth is what we need. And sometimes in the midst of those things, we start to rely on something else. And we forget to go to where the help is. The help is the truth. Glory to God. And so I just want to encourage this congregation, no matter what you're facing, don't quit using your faith. Right. Listen, I tell you what, you're at the tip of the spear, so to speak. You're at the edge, and I'm not saying that just because that's family church or, you know, this church is so great or elite. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you're in an active church that is on the hunt for God's truth, on the hunt after souls, right? To follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so when you involve yourself in a church family like that, it's going to be contested. Well, I'll tell you how we win the contest, right? Get back to the truth. Over the last couple of services, last Sunday, we talked about doing the first works. And we looked at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, and we saw that the church at Ephesus was commended for their labor and their hard work. But Jesus said, I have one thing against you, that you have left and abandoned me as your first love. Remember that? You know, we can be successful outwardly, but if we're not careful, we can perish inwardly. You can have the outward look of a successful church and buildings and all this stuff, but we need to make sure we do the simple things that makes anyone great. And what makes you great isn't the degrees on your wall, not the buildings that you hold your services in, but what makes you great is fellowship with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're, over these next couple of weeks, we've been emphasizing doing the simple things, like fellowshipping with the Lord, doing them and being proficient at those things first. Amen. And on Wednesday, we talked about praying for people and interceding for people. When you first get saved, there's an excitement to be in church. There's an excitement to read your Bible. There's an excitement to pray. There's an excitement to pray for others. Yeah, and we need to get back to those things because this church was founded on that sincere principle of fellowship with Jesus. And just because things are happening, we don't lose sight of that. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. And so now we're going to go one step further and talk about just what God's Word does in our life. Yes. And having a hunger for God's Word. And, you know, getting back to that first work of fellowshipping with the Lord with the Bible. Yeah. I don't read the Bible to read the Bible. I read the Bible because that's where truth is. I don't read the Bible to get information. I read the Bible to spend time with Jesus. Amen. There's a big difference. So let's go on over here to John 17 in verse 17. Now, if you read this entire chapter, you'll understand that this is in the midst of Jesus praying to the Father. Now, at first, he starts praying for the original apostles. And he's praying for the 11, of course, minus Judas Iscariot, who fell. And he's praying that the world would receive the word of God through them. And then he starts praying for all of us who would eventually become the fruit of their ministry, which here we are 2,000 years later, and that includes every single one of us. And he starts praying, and go up there. Why don't we start in verse 16, just to kind of set it in context. Jesus starts talking about us being in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in it. Okay? I know sometimes people think we're in space, you know? You know, you ever heard somebody call you a space cadet or something like that? Well, no, you are in the world still. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world. This is Jesus praying as he's saying this to God the Father about us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. All right. And of course, a few verses before that, Jesus says, Father, I don't pray that you take them from the world, right? But basically empower them in the world. Amen. So we know that we have some time in this world. And what Jesus gives us the answer of how we face this world. Look at verse 17. He says in the midst of praying for us who are going to face this world, when that word world there, it actually means the world system.
Yeah, sure.
You're going to face the world system. Okay? You're going to face the world system on finances, which is different from God's system of finances. You're gonna face the world system of sickness and disease. You're gonna face the world system on poverty. You're gonna face the world system on depression and anxiety. You're gonna face all of this stuff that is in the world. In verse 17, Jesus says this. He says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are you going to be sanctified in the world? Jesus says, with the word of God. And the word of God is truth. Praise God. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, what does the word sanctify mean? Well, some of you, you know, maybe that word to you means to cleanse. And that's actually not wrong. We are cleansed by the word of God. That's definitely true. But this word sanctify, if you look it up, it actually means to consecrate, to make holy, or to set apart. I like that. To consecrate, to make holy, or to set apart. What is going to set us apart from this world system? The truth. The difference between us and the rest of the world is truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And again, that word world in verse 16 and in verse 18, it means the world system. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I want to be set apart from the world system. Because I don't know about you, but if you look at this world system, the world's economic system is failing. The world's healthcare system is failing. The world system, and whether it's just in basic needs, is failing, you know. But we can be set apart from the world. And the truth is to make the world see that there is something different about us, set apart, not going down with the destruction of the world. Glory to God. Jesus prays and says, Father, set them apart. Set them apart, because I'm sending them into this world just like you sent me into the world, just as Jesus was set apart.
That's right.
And it said all the people of that region, they started to notice this Jesus fellow. And the world couldn't make him depressed.
That's right. Good.
The world couldn't make him sick. The world couldn't make him anxious and fearful.
Come on now.
Yeah. The world couldn't put him down, even when it came time where Jesus was going to go to the cross. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate? He said, you can't take my life, but I lay it down.
Yes, that's right.
He said, the only way you can do this is because my Father in heaven is permitting it.
Good word.
They couldn't kill him when they wanted. Yeah. Remember all the attempts they made on his life before the crucifixion?
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
Remember Jesus said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down? Come on now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why was that? Because Jesus was filled with the truth.
That's right.
He was filled with the truth. And as he was filled with the truth, the world couldn't crush him.
That's right.
The world couldn't make him sad. The world couldn't make him poor.
That's right.
The world couldn't make him sick.
That's right.
The world couldn't make him give up.
That's right.
Come on now. Because this is what happens when you're filled with truth. It sets you apart and it makes the world take notice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now go over to John 8. You're right there. Go back a few chapters. John chapter 8. Jesus speaking again. Familiar passage to us. Go to verse 31. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. The truth. It sets us apart. Makes us holy. And it sets us apart from this world system. Amen. I don't have to go down with the world's troubles.
No.
Amen. Praise God. We are, the Bible says, Jesus called us the light of the world, the salt of the earth. I'll tell you what, if this world is going to have any hope, it's going to come through you.
Yes, that's right.
Of course, Jesus, yes. Jesus in you, the light of the world, you are the light of the world.
Yes.
You are the hope.
Yes.
People need to see somebody that is set apart from the world system. They need to look at you, see a difference, and say, I don't need to be destroyed with the world. Look at them. They're not destroyed with the world. Doesn't mean they look at you and see that you're not challenged or tried or tested. Of course, we all have been there. But they see an overcomer. They see a person of truth. Glory to God. Now, Jesus said this in John 8:31. You're over there. I'm in the King James Bible. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Boy, if that needs to be read over and over. If you continue in the word. God isn't interested in what you start. He's interested in what you finish. He's not interested in, what you did. He's interested in, are you continuing in it? Praise the Lord. If you continue, then you're disciples indeed. And now verse 32, this is the benefit of being a disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
It didn't say that someone's opinions are going to make you free. It didn't say that news commentary is going to make you free. It didn't say that education even is going to make you free, though education's a good thing, you know. It didn't say that the stock market is going to make you free, or the world finances are make you free. It didn't say that medicine was going to make you free, though we certainly are glad for medicine, and God's not against medicine. Praise the Lord. We're grateful for it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But we know that the root of all freedom is truth.
That's right.
And we know this, that facts alone don't make you free.
Right.
Because you know that there is a difference between facts and truth. There is a difference between facts and truth. The world is trying to live off fact. We are going to live off truth. Now, let me explain the difference. Facts do not make you free. Actually, facts can try to bind you and fight against the truth. Let me give you an example. Now, there's some sections of Christianity that believe, in this, and it's not true, you know, this mind over matter kind of doctrine that says, you know, if you get a symptom in your body or you're going through a challenge or you're facing something, that you just say, no, it's not happening. You know, like, they deny it in the sense that, no, that it's really not there. No, it's really there.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
You know, don't get into, you know, weirdness, fruity and flaky and nutty. You know, they try to deny its existence. No, it's there. It's a tangible trial, okay? But that's a fact. That's a fact. And here's the thing about truth and facts is that truth never changes, but facts can change. Facts can change. Yeah, you might be really facing that trial, but here's the good news. Yeah, it's a fact that that might be testing your body, or it might be testing your life, or whatever it is. Well, here's the good news, is that fact can change.
That's right. That's right.
Facts are not forever.
That's right.
Truth is forever.
Good.
There's a difference. Yeah, you can be tested where it looks like you don't have enough in this life. You ever been there financially? Where it just looks like you don't have enough, car payment, mortgage payment, all this stuff, or unexpected expense, you know, come along, and it looks like, that's a fact. I mean, it just looks, the fact is that the money doesn't appear to be there to pay that bill or whatever. All right, but the truth is, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory.
That's right.
See, and that truth, when you confess that,
yes,
and you go and you receive that truth, say, you know, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. The truth is God supplies my needs.
Yes.
And so that truth is going to change that fact.
That's right. Very good.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Truth always frees you. Truth can only make you go higher and further.
Yes.
But facts can sometimes try to hinder you. Yeah. Facts can change. Truth is always the same. Truth is what is going to change the facts. Mm-hmm. The world lives for facts. They can only digest or understand facts. But heaven lives for truth. Yeah. Praise the Lord. These are just things that I was meditating on. When facts say no, truth says yes. When the fact says you can't have it. When the fact says you can't afford it. When the fact says, this is how it feels. You know, when the fact says no, truth can say yes. Oh, my goodness. I have this written down, and then this just came up out of my heart. Truth can knock down a mountain of facts against you. Truth can knock down a mountain of facts against you. See, I want you to get the revelation. All of a sudden, it's just going to turn on like a light bulb on the inside. Wait a minute. I don't want to live for the facts anymore. I want to live for truth. And this is what is going to set apart the Christian from the world, is that the world can only go by what they see, what they feel,
right?
But we can go by the truth that we believe. Hallelujah. And faith is always stronger than the fact. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When facts are against you, the truth is for you.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. When facts are against you, the truth is for you. Why? Because what did Jesus say in John 8:32? When you know the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
Free from what? Free from the facts that are trying to bind you. Free from the symptoms that are trying to hurt you. Right? Free from the poverty that is trying to oppress you. Right? Free from the sin that is trying to tempt you. Come on. Isn't that how you stay away from sin? Is that you know the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Things that used to entice you, you know, things that you used to do and sin against God, you're not doing those anymore because now you've replaced that with a level of truth. That's and right. Now you know too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know too much to keep living that way. That truth delivered you.
Yes.
Amen. Aren't you glad?
Yes. Amen.
Yep. When facts are against you, the truth is for you. Facts can only enter the brain. Truth can enter the heart. That's a huge difference. I'm going to say it again. Facts can only enter the brain. Truth can enter your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me show you something. I wasn't planning on going there, but I knew that this was going to happen, that I'd be led to teach, and the Spirit of God would remind me of a scripture. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Some of you know I say it that way because my chapter and verse knowledge is being tested right now, because it's on the inside I hear this scripture playing, but my mind's running to catch up of where it is. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It is here. We're looking for it. Praise God. Actually, I meant Matthew chapter 12. You know, 12 and 13 are real close neighbors. Amen. Now go over there to verse 35. Matthew 12, 35. This is a scripture that just started playing in my spirit. And so that's the Holy Ghost leading us to take a look at it. Jesus speaking again. How many of you believe Jesus?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, well, good. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart. We need to get a hold of that. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And of course, what is he talking about? Verse 36, he says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy words you shall be justified, and by thy words you shall be condemned. He's talking about how we bring forth good things into our life. Notice, they don't come from the mind. Facts can only enter the mind. You cannot live by facts. You cannot focus on facts. You can't focus on feelings. You can't focus on circumstances, even though they're reality in this life. They're facts, but they can change. All right? But truth, when your heart is filled with truth, glory to God, you can bring good things up out of your heart, speak them with your mouth, and that's how good things arrive in the life of a believer. Why? Because Jesus said that that's faith.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Jesus said over there in Mark 11, 23, but verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the words that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said?
That's right.
He will have whatsoever he says. Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Jesus said, if you've got it in your life, it's because you've been talking it. You're going to live what you speak. You are the prophet of your own future. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Woo-wee, glory to God. But notice where the good things must first come from. They come from the heart. Amen. They come from the heart because you have filled your heart with truth. And the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Notice, whatever you put in, you can live.
That's right.
The truth can enter your heart. And when the truth enters your heart, that's when you're going to start speaking the right thing. When you start speaking the right thing, you're going to bring forth the good things that God has for you. Amen. Facts. Now we know this. Listen to this. Facts can be your opposition. You know what I mean? Or they're at very least the symptoms of your opposition.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that true?
Oh, yes.
The facts are symptoms, or they are products of your opposition.
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes the world itself will just oppose you.
Yeah.
Also, the devil will oppose you.
Yeah.
The devil can test your finances. You know, the devil at times will try to test somebody in their body, all right? And he tries to use those facts to be opposition to us. So notice, facts can be your opposition,
right.
All right? But here's the thing about truth. Truth is the opposition to your opposition. Truth is what comes against your opposition.
Right.
Come on, get a hold of this. The greatest enemy of sin is truth.
Yeah, sure.
How does somebody receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and they're cleansed and washed from their sin?
Right.
Right? Because someone told them the truth that Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah.
They received that truth and sin had no chance to stand against it.
Good. That's right. Absolutely.
That's why I say truth is the opposition to your opposition.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Right? The greatest enemy of sickness is truth.
Yes, that's right.
Medicine is a blessing, but the greatest enemy of sickness is truth. You can't fight sickness with medicine alone. Praise the Lord, it can help us feel better. It can, you know, get us on the right track. I'm not against it at all. People that have this idea that God is anti-medicine, I'll tell you what, you have not read your Bible. How about Proverbs 17:22? A merry heart does good like a medicine. All right, that doesn't mean you will be led to take every medicine. That doesn't mean you go out and just purposely try to take medications you're not prescribed and all that stuff. All right, you need to be careful. You need to be led. But, you know, there's some people that say, I don't take medicine for anything because that's not faith. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You have this idea that faith is a lack of medicine. No, faith is not the lack of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Faith is you using your faith.
That's right. Good.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise God for good doctors. Praise God for good doctors. Listen, many of you know, I mean, I think about my mother had a liver transplant this past year. She had the best liver transplant doctor considered in the entire world, you know, down there at Cleveland Clinic. And praise God, we prayed, we thanked the Lord. I'm very grateful for a skilled doctor.
Yeah.
Because without which, I would not have my mother today.
Yeah.
How about over there in Matthew 9, 13 or 14? You can look it up later. Remember what Jesus said? Remember Jesus said, those that be well have no need for a doctor, but they that are sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would Jesus compare himself to a doctor if doctors were evil? There's some weirdness that tries to creep into Christianity. I am so grateful for doctors.
Yeah.
My doctor is a Christian man who loves God, who goes on missions trips.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
What a skill. What a blessing.
Yeah. Amen.
You know? And that needs to be said. However, first and foremost, the greatest enemy of all sickness and illness is truth.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you eliminate doctors and medicine. They will help and assist that truth, but the number one thing against sickness is truth. So many times we only go to the medicine. We only go to the doctor. Well, what truth do you know about health and healing in the Bible? Yep. Yeah. The greatest enemy of depression is truth. Again, you know, if somebody really needs it, and, you know, they're on medication to help, you know, their depression, I would say this, that would be a temporary fix. The long-term fix is truth.
Yeah, for sure.
Truth. Truth is the greatest enemy to depression.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, if you're living a life that seems perpetually sad, it's because we haven't fed ourselves the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth, it'll make you free.
That's right.
Free from depression,
yes.
Free from illness, free from sin.
Right.
Amen. The foremost and the greatest enemy of poverty is truth.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know, what of God's truth do you know concerning finances?
That's right. Oh, yes.
Do you know, here's just a little heads up. I'm going to say something that might shock you. Do you know that not all doctrine of even good, you know, intentions, good intentional churches and not all doctrine of traditional Christianity is true?
Right.
You know, have you ever, you know, heard the idea that, you know, God makes people poor to teach them humility? And then all of a sudden you get into the Word of God and you start to think, wait a minute, that's not right. You know, of course, God is there to help the poor. What is one of the first things that Jesus said over there in Luke chapter 4, right around the 18th verse? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What is that? He said, I'm here to bring truth to those that are oppressed by poverty. Listen, I've been in a third world country, and I was down in Brazil, and I was in that third world poverty, and walked in those streets and saw people living in literally garbage piles. And I am not kidding. There was men who were cooking rats in a little fire of trash that they made in a hubcap. I'm not kidding you. I saw that. I saw animals in, who were eating next to people out of the same garbage pile. That is not a joke, and it's not an exaggeration. You've never known how oppressive poverty can be, and the fact that it is evil. Now, those people aren't evil, but that oppressive poverty where people are living less than the animals in our, the pets of our country, it is oppressive. You know, when you sense a demonic presence with that oppressive poverty, well, guess what the answer to poverty is? The gospel, the truth. Praise the Lord. The greatest enemy of anything you face is truth. You know, the greatest need or the greatest enemy of what our situation is, it's not money. Money does not solve the trial. Money doesn't even solve a financial trial. Truth does. If you receive, you know, let's say you receive financial help, but if you received it without filling your heart first with truth, that those finances aren't a help to you, they're a curse to you. Truth. Truth. You don't want to receive something. You don't want to live in this life apart from truth. You know, you've heard me say this many times, cash without character is a curse. Yep. You don't want wealth without wisdom. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The more you know truth, the more you will know God.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Because truth is the only realm that God lives in. Truth is the only thing He deals in. God is not questioning anything right now. He is not unsure or undecided about one thing. We are the ones that are unsure and undecided, and you will never be free until you become as certain of God's truth as He is.
Good word.
Let me say that again. You will never be free until you are as certain of God's truth as He is.
That's right. Very good.
Why didn't the world system destroy Jesus? Because He was filled with truth, and He was certain about that truth. Amen. Are you getting some help here? You getting some help here this morning? Now, this is, again, not scheduled, but let's go over and look at an example in the Word. Go to Luke and go over to chapter 13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's take a look at this. So whatever you're facing, guess what you need to go to? Truth. And you sure don't need a trial. You sure don't need a trial to be your motivator for truth. You know, that's like saying a soldier's motivation to fight is when a bullet hits him. No, that soldier goes into battle knowing he's a target. He doesn't put on his, you know, his body armor, you know, after a bullet hits him. He doesn't, you know, so many times people use the scripture as a bandage to repair a wound when they've already been hit. Now, praise the Lord, God is merciful. But I'll tell you what, the Word is a shield.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right? Right? The Word is more of a shield. The Word is also a sword.
Yeah.
Amen. Faith is a shield. The Word is a sword. Those are things that you take into battle before the shooting starts, so to speak. You know what I mean? A soldier, when he knows that there's going to be opposition, he doesn't start shooting, after a bullet catches him. He knows ahead of time to be prepared and be covered and to be protected ahead of time. In the same way, so many people, they're looking to pull out the bandage, they get the Bible after they've been hit. No, you don't need a trial to start confessing truth. I don't need a symptom in my body for me to say I'm the healed of the Lord. Right? I don't need a financial trial to come up before I say my God supplies all my needs. We should be filled with that truth ahead of time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go over here to Luke chapter 13. Again, familiar, but we're feeding. You know, when you feed on the Word, you are going back to things that you have read many times. You know, people that always need something new out of the Bible, I'll tell you what, you're trying to live off novelty. How many of you plan on eating food today? Anybody? All right, half of you. The other half are on a spiritual fast. So you're going to eat something today. I would dare say that 99%, if not 100% of us, are going to eat something we've had before. Isn't that what eat feeding is? You go back to the same foods. You know, I eat a banana probably just about every day of my life. You know, I a lot of times my morning breakfast will be oatmeal. Ew. But sometimes it's a Jimmy Dean sausage sandwich or something. Yeah, glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, and so there's things that you go back to. You know, you don't just have spaghetti one time. You know, you have it, you know, you've had it several times. Because that's what feeding is, going back, revisiting, right? Praise the Lord. So that's when you're feeding on truth, you're going back. You know, to get an answer that you don't have, that would be studying. Studying and feeding are different. I study the Word to get answers. I feed on the Word to get full. You know, feeding is going over things that I may already know and have already had, and I'm just, they're a constant, you know, revisiting of those things. Where studying is when I sit down and put together, you know, pieces of the puzzle that I haven't put together before. There's a difference. You know, we should have both, but I tell you what, we need to feed on the Word of God. Amen. Verse 11. Now go over here, and of course, we're going to look at a woman who is dealing with some facts, but truth showed up. Truth showed up. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. All right, can you bring that up in the Amplified Bible? I love how the Amplified, you know, kind of defines the original Greek. It says, there was a woman there who for 18 years had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. Notice it wasn't a God of sickness. It wasn't Jesus of sickness. It was a demon of sickness. All right? Giving us the idea of where those things come from. Now, that doesn't mean someone who has symptoms is a demon or that that person's evil. How many of you have ever had symptoms in your body before? We all have. Now don't raise your hand, because I was going to ask if there are any demons here today. You know, we won't answer that question. But anyhow, I'm not talking about people. You understand. But how many of you know that in the realm of the spirit, those things can be caused by a demonic personality? All right? And so again, like I said, the devil will try to use these facts. These facts can be a symptom of your opposition.
Sure.
This woman had an illness or a condition that was being enforced by a demonic personality.
Oh, yes.
Now, naturally speaking, was that condition a fact in her body? Yeah, she felt it.
Oh, yes.
It was there.
Sure.
Okay? She couldn't erase it with her mind.
Right.
That's ridiculous. But notice that in the realm of the spirit, it was being caused by a demon. All right, and again, if there's one thing that demons can't handle, they can't handle the truth. Isn't there you can't handle the truth. Isn't that some old movie line or something? Well, demons can't handle the truth. Who's that, Jack Nicholson or somebody like that? You can't handle the truth. Well, demons can't handle the truth. And it says that she was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look forward. That's a debilitating condition, isn't it? She was literally, you could say, in a form, she was crippled. All right, so I'm going to go back to reading in the King James. I mean, the Amplified's good, too. And in verse 12, it says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her. I like this. You could say it this way. Now, how many of you know that Jesus' name is the Word of God?
Yeah.
Remember over there in Revelation 19? His name is the Word of God.
Right.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And remember John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
And so you could say it this way, and when truth saw her. And when truth saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Well, obviously that demon of sickness had to jump right off.
Yes, that's right.
Because Jesus laid hands on her. Now, how many of you know the Bible tells us over there in Mark chapter 16? You know, it tells us that we lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover.
Yes, oh yes, that's right.
Amen. Remember, Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall also do, and greater works shall you do, because I go unto my Father, John 14:12. So we can do the same thing. We can lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
And he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight. Why? That demon couldn't handle the truth.
Right.
That fact couldn't handle the truth. That fact had to yield to the truth.
Yes.
The fact had to get out of the way because truth was coming through. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was mad. Now, wasn't a miracle just performed in his midst? Why isn't it still true today that there are denominations and religions that are upset with miracles? I don't get it. I never understood that. Why would you want to promote and give into this idea that God's power expired? God's power isn't a jug of milk. It doesn't have a best if used by date. It's good to use it anytime, anywhere. Praise the Lord. People say, well, that doesn't happen today. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
And if it doesn't, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the ruler of the synagogue answered with anger, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite. Here comes truth again. Listen, you're going to deal with a lot of people in this life that aren't going to throw a party for you when God's blessings show up. You would think the ruler, just think that woman was entrusted to her care, to his care. That woman went to that synagogue.
That's right.
And her, well, it wouldn't be a pastor. It'd be a priest or a scribe or a Pharisee or whoever it was, you know, was not happy for her when she finally, after 18 years, received her healing. You know, it's unfortunate, but those kind of spiritual leaders still exist today. Yeah. You need to find yourself in a place that's going to rejoice for you. That's going to rejoice with you. That's going to use your faith with you. That's going to intercede for you. Glory to God. You know, when God blesses you and gives you a new job with a promotion or something, no one around here is going to, we shouldn't at least.
Right.
No one around here is going to criticize that. We're going to rejoice with that.
Right. Amen.
Amen. God blesses you with a bigger house or something, we're not going to criticize that. We're going to rejoice with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have symptoms in your body that have been trying to hinder you for years and they leave out of the power of God, no one around here is going to get jealous or weird about that. We're going to rejoice with that.
Amen.
Come on now.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we keep on reading here. Jesus says, you hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Of course, we need to replace that old English once in a while because there are younger ears here who might not understand the other meaning of that word. Verse 16, now look what Jesus says. And ought not this woman. I love this scripture, this scripture. Underline it in your Bible right now. If you don't have a Bible that you dare write in, well, get rid of it and get one that you can write in. Highlight it, underline it. Praise the Lord. ought not this woman? The word ought not means, shouldn't it be this way?
Yeah,
right. Isn't that what he's saying? He says, should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? Everyone say covenant. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of God. He says, listen, this is a daughter of Abraham. Healing belongs to her.
That's right.
Do you know that there's things that belong to you that you might not even be aware of?
Right.
And we're going to look at it. Why? Because it's truth. What is this woman? What is Jesus talking about now? He's talking about truth.
Yes.
He said the truth is this woman should be healed because she's a daughter of Abraham.
Right.
And healing belongs to her.
Right.
Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound... Satan has bound. God didn't bind her. Satan did. Stop accusing God of making people sick. God has never made you sick. Never. He has only goodwill and intentions for you. God is not the author of sickness and disease. Boy, people got to get that right. Say, what happened? If you came in thinking that and you leave and you started to change your thinking... Wait a minute. Jesus said Satan bound that woman. It was a demon of sickness. God doesn't work with demons. God and Satan do not have their same hand in the same cookie jar. Okay? You know, we got to say it all the time. Why? Because it's renewing our mind. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus went on to say, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus said, I'm not the thief. I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't destroy. I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. It's not family church's opinion. It's not my opinion. It's the word of God. Praise the Lord. You getting some help here this morning? Glory to God. He says, and ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? I love that. Because he's saying, she's a daughter of Abraham. And because if you're a son or daughter of Abraham, there's things that belong to you through the promises of God. Well, now if you were only a son or a daughter of Abraham, you know, if you were, then you could say it. You could say the same thing. Ought not it be?
Yes.
Why? Because the truth is, there's things that it should, there are ways that it should be in the life of a believer.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I guess I'll just have to go on over there to Galatians chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible.
Amen.
Go over to Galatians chapter 3. I wasn't planning on preaching this sermon. I've preached this passage so many times. I teach it just about everywhere I go. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because Christians need to come to the realization of who they are. Why don't we take a little walk through, make a few stops in this chapter. Galatians chapter 3, why don't you start at verse 7? Galatians 3, 7. Knowing ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Is there anyone here today that you are of faith? Okay, well, half of you, again. We'll have a great altar call here in a minute. Go down to verse 9. So notice in verse 7 that you are the children of Abraham. Just like that woman was, a daughter of Abraham. Ought not she be healed? Why, what is that? It's truth. What was the fact? The fact was the condition. The fact was the demon of sickness. But the truth was the laying on of hands. The truth was the promise of God. The truth overrid that fact. And that, notice that those facts had been hindering that woman for 18 years. Listen, I tell you what, I don't care how helpless the situation looks. I don't care how hopeless it looks. I don't care if it's been there year in or year out. I'll tell you what, your help is in the truth. Glory to God. Go to verse 9. So then which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I am the child of Abraham. I am blessed with Abraham.
Oh, yes.
And you might not think, well, what does this have to do with anything? You might say, well, why? You know, I never thought of myself as a child of Abraham. Well, in that is what God calls you. And in that is your inheritance.
That's right.
An inheritance is what you get after someone dies. Someone died for you. And not only did he die for you, he rose again for you. That you would become the sons and daughters of Abraham and the recipients of the promise. Can you go up to, go to down to verse 29, same chapter, Galatians 3:29. Praise the Lord. Again, these are great verses to underline in your Bible. This is who you are. And if you be Christ's, if you belong to him, anybody in here? Then are you Abraham's seed or children, and you are heirs according to the promise. You have what? An heir. An heir is someone who receives an inheritance after someone dies. This isn't something you're going to get when you get to heaven. This is something that has been given to you now. Everyone say this with me. Everyone say, I am a child of Abraham. Of course, more importantly, we're children of God. But it was through the Abrahamic covenant. You might come in here and say, this guy, Abraham, he lived 4,000 some years ago. Does this really pertain to me? Yes, it does. Because it's important, because God, how many of you know God made a promise to Abraham? And God said, not only will I be faithful to you, Abraham, I'll be faithful to every one of your children throughout the thousands of years. 4,000 years to God is like 4 days. It's not even a week yet. God is still blessing the seed of Abraham, which now we are. If you be Christ's, then you have received an inheritance, and that inheritance is the promise. What did you receive? You received an inheritance of truth. You got an inheritance of truth. My goodness. So, this all points back to, again, why do I read my Bible? Is it a duty? Is it because this is what a good Christian is supposed to do? No. Well, of course, yeah, we want to be good Christians, but don't make fellowshipping with God works. I go to the Word because it's where truth is at. Because the truth makes me free. Glory to God. Truth is the opposition to my opposition. I can't be crushed as long as I'm filled with truth. So, what is truth? God's word is truth. We need to go and get God's word on these areas of life. How about finances? How about health and healing? You know, well, I'm just going to start quoting you some things. You can take them for yourself. And if this upends your theology, again, chapter and verse, I will quote them. You write them down. Go look them up later. Don't believe me just because I'm speaking up here because I'm a pastor. Believe it because the Word of God says it. Amen? I mean, my goodness, where could we start? I mean, we could start over there, Exodus 23, verses 25. It says, He will bless your bread and water, right? And He will take sickness from your midst. Hallelujah. So He says, I will bless your bread and water. That's also a remark concerning prosperity. He says, and I will take sickness from your midst. How about Deuteronomy 8:18? He said, it is me, God speaking. He says, that give you power to get wealth, that I may establish my covenant with you that I did with your forefathers, with Abraham. God says, it is me, that is from me that gives you power to get wealth or have your needs met. How about Proverbs 10:22? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's see. There was another verse over here. Just follow with me, would you? Ecclesiastes 5:19. Bring that one up. Bring it up in the King James. I love this. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth. Oh, wait, I thought the devil made people rich. There he is. He's talking about money in church. Well, I bet you spent some money to get here today. I bet you're going to spend money at the grocery store. I bet you're going to buy clothes. I bet you're going to want a house to live in. I bet you're going to have to pay, you know, rent or buy a car to go to work. I bet you're going to probably need a washer and dryer for your clothes. You know, I don't know, but Walmart isn't just handing these things out for free, you know. And so, you know, don't get tripped up by the terms riches and wealth. You know, some of us have a Robin Leach definition. You remember this, the old show? with Robin Leach Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Remember that guy? Welcome to the, see, I remember growing up as a kid and I'd see those commercials, the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. You know, you don't have to have your initials encrusted with diamonds on your front door of your house to be considered wealthy in God's eyes. What does it mean? It means more than enough to meet your needs with enough left over to give into every good work. And that definition is from the book of 1 Corinthians, by the way, or 2 Corinthians. First or second? 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Verse 8. Thank you, Pastor Brad. See? Hallelujah. That comes right out of the Bible. God says he wants enough that all your needs are met with enough left over to give into every good work. That's God's definition of prosperity. So don't let those words, you know, trip you up. But notice who gives wealth and riches? God. He has given him power to eat thereof, to take his portion, to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Not the gift of the devil. It's a gift of God. Try with me. Oh, dear heavens. Well, since we're, you know, I'll go look at this. Bring up Proverbs chapter 3. And I will just share with you some scriptures and we'll get ready to. Of course, you can you know, take these while we're bringing that up. You get ready with Proverbs 3. I'll get ready with the verse I was looking for. And in the meantime, I'll quote you some along the way. Sure. You know, how about Psalm 1:1 through verse 3? Starts with verse 1. Verse 2 says, he meditates in the word of God day and night. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let's talk about people that meditate in the word.
Yeah.
They'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall
prosper.
Right? Psalm 35, 27. Remember? Get it going for me, Pastor Bragg. Let him shout for joy. One of our MTC guys over here. See what happens when you become a Bible school student? You know everything. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Right? I was taking you over to Proverbs chapter 3. Go right around verse 16. I could be wrong, but we'll just start there. It'll be close. I'll find it. Yep. Now, man. Absolutely drilled it, bullseye. Proverbs 3:16. Now, it's talking about wisdom. It's a metaphor for wisdom, and wisdom is being compared to a woman. And all the ladies said, amen. So when it says length of days is in her right hand, it literally is speaking about in wisdom's right hand. So in the right hand of wisdom is length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Riches and honor.
Yeah.
Rich. Pastor Brad quoted Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty.
Right.
Right? And your vat will overflow with new wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty.
Yeah.
People have this idea that God is out, you know, making people poor to teach them a lesson. No. So what is this? This is the truth.
Truth.
This is the truth.
Yeah.
This is the truth about finances. I know it upsets some of your theology. I know that some of our tradition just gets downright mad. You know? You know, what is it over there? Psalm 37, 25. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Praise the Lord. Right? I already quoted Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about 3 John verse 2? Can you bring that up? 3 John verse 2. He says, I wish above all. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. How else do you interpret that? How else? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Your soul is a reference to your mind and your intellect and your emotions. The more that we renew our mind with the word of God, he said, you're going to prosper in correlation to how much you renew your mind.
Yeah, very good.
Praise the Lord. Why? What is that? Truth.
Truth. Yep.
Right? Truth renewing your mind, filling your heart. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How about health and healing? How about some truth on that? How about Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Psalm 103, right? Verse 2 and 3. How about Matthew 8:17? That it would be, Matthew 8:17, that it may be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Bear our sicknesses. Praise the Lord. How about 1 Peter 2:24? Who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. So what is that? That's truth about healing. What did we talk about a minute ago? Truth about prosperity. You need to get truth about peace. You need to get truth about joy. You need to get truth about marriage. See? And what happens when you feed your spirit with truth? Jesus said, out of your heart and out of your mouth, you'll bring forth good things. Good things. Praise God. Folks, I preach this message to inspire you and inspire myself to get back to what will make this congregation strong, and that is simply feeding on the Word. Simply going back, not just reading your Bible, okay, but going in and taking those scriptures and speaking them to yourself and memorizing them and walking the floor and quoting them. You know, as I quote these scriptures, what is that a result of? That's just a result of me feeding on the Word. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because we all have the responsibility to feed on truth. And the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. The greatest enemy of sickness is truth. The greatest enemy of poverty is truth. The greatest enemy of temptation is truth. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Well, let's pray. Father, we love you.